Time for a live report from Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine. Joe, hello. This is a Ukrainian group, isn't it?
Yeah, Bob, good afternoon from Lviv. This is a Ukrainian musician, Jamala. She's from the Crimean Peninsula. She's an ethnic Tartar Crimean. And this song is called 1944. This song won Eurovision in 2016, and Jamala wrote it right as Russia had taken Crimea from Ukraine. But she wrote it about a similar incident from 1944. She says in these lyrics, when strangers are coming, they come to your house. They kill you all, and they say, we're not guilty, we're not guilty, as they take away your whole life. Then she says, we could build a future where people are free. You think you are gods, but everyone dies. Don't swallow my soul. They kill you all, and they say, we're not guilty. And she's speaking about, for 2 days in May in 1944, Stalin's secret police went to the Crimean Peninsula, and they used cattle trains to round up and deport the ethnic Muslim Tartar people. They sent them far away to Uzbekistan, bordering China. And they just wanted to get rid of them and then to populate Crimean Peninsula with approved communist Russians. 8,000 Crimean Tartars died during that transportation. They lost 80,000 homes, 360,000 acres of farmland. And then there was a Soviet-era law, which I think would sound familiar to what we hear today in occupied territory of Ukraine. Russia banned even the mention of Crimean Tartar. You couldn't even mention the fact that these people once existed. They banned the language and they changed the place names. And this is exactly what Russia has been doing with Ukrainian language in occupied Mariupol. And so we see that whether in Soviet times or Putin times, there still is this sort of the same ethos in the Russian mentality. And, you know, it's not just the Crimean Tartars who were deported during Soviet times. I was just at a cafe here in Lviv. It's a beautiful sunny day. It's the first day when people can sort of sit outside in the streets on the cobbled lanes. And I was talking with a girl whose grandmother in 1947, the same secret police that rounded up that Jamala, the musician that took her family to Kyrgyzstan, they rounded up my friend Marta's family, including her grandmother, and they put them on the cattle train, thousand or more miles away into the steppes. And as people on the train died, they threw them out into the fields. And this, her grandmother was an amazing woman. She was resettled in some village, somewhere in the steppes of Russia. She sold the little jewelry that she had. She bought a horse and wagon, and she took her two young kids and came all the way back to Galicia, to Western Ukraine. And so she defied the Soviets. But this is, she was part of the Lemko people. And so if you look at, modern Ukraine, it really consists of different cultures, whether they're called Lemko or Hutsul or the Tartars, Christian and Muslim and others, who are united by their desire to be left alone, their desire to live freely, sort of here in the Wild East, as they call it. And it's been, throughout history, forces coming from the East and the West have tried to conquer them. But now, of course, they stand together. And again, as Jamala says in that song, and this is really the dream, I think, not just of Ukrainians, but of people anywhere who don't want to live under tyranny, we could build a future where people are free. You think you are gods, but everyone dies. Don't swallow my soul.
And that brings to mind a story we're talking about here in Chicago today, Joseph. The Chicago Blackhawks will not wear pride jerseys for Pride Night, which is Sunday night at the United Center, because there is concern for the safety of their Russian hockey players. Of course, Russia has that law banning what they call gay propaganda. So the oppression continues, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, Russia likes to, exert. It's the same with, and we see this with Beijing and Moscow. They both like to exert their control all over the world. I mean, you see this especially with more overtly with Beijing, but more more subversively with Russia. And this is what Ukrainians know up close. And this is the question for the world. If we don't stand up to the tyrants in Beijing and Moscow, everyone's going to have to suffer in some way from this control of liberty and freedom. There's a Ukrainian poet, Ivan Franko. He's one of the heroes of Ukraine, and he has a poem in translation. He's talking about the wild fields, the Dikopoli. And he says, I have a strange dream. There before me was an endless yet empty and wild field. and I, fettered by a chain of steel, stood there beneath a tall granite cliff. And further, there were thousands the same, like me. But in this way, we go forward as a congregation united by this holy thought, with mallets in hand. We who are cursed and forgotten by the world, we will break down the cliffs, level out the true roads, and fortune will come to all by our dear bones. And this is the idea, you know, the free people of the world have been uniting together for this cause here in Ukraine, and they can continue to do so.
I know there have been many missile attacks in the last 24 hours. There in Lviv, Joseph, were there any drone strikes?
No, the past 24 hours have been calm here. We had a nationwide air alert earlier. If the Russian cycle can, you know, is on schedule, we're sort of due for something the next few days. Meanwhile, President Zelensky, amazingly, was visiting soldiers very close to Bakhmut yesterday. Incredibly close. And that really shows his courage. And unlike when you see the videos of supposedly a Putin in Mariupol, you know, it's very clearly Zelensky. You can see his personality. He certainly was there meeting the soldiers. And then, meanwhile, Russia was complaining. The UK said they're going to deliver these depleted uranium shells to Ukraine. And it's sort of an advanced bullet that can break through a tank. And Russia was complaining about this, saying, oh, no, you know, you can't send these types of weapons to Ukraine. And as one of the key guys of the White House, retired Admiral John Kirby, said, if Russia is afraid of depleted uranium shells, it can withdraw its tanks from Ukraine. It's very simple.
Before we let you go, Joseph, let me share a few pieces of feedback from listeners that hopefully will lift your spirits today. Recently, for the first time in a year, I heard fear in Joseph's voice. His reporting is amazing. Godspeed. Bob, Joseph knows how to paint the picture. And here's one that I like. I agree with you about Joseph, Bob. We're so lucky to have him. Riveting. Thanks to him and you. We appreciate your reporting, Joseph.
Wow, thanks. Thanks to you all. I'll have to think back to which day there was fear in my voice. It's happened a few times.
Yes.
Today in Lviv, it's a sunny day and there's good energy here. I just actually, you know, we have such great cooperation. I just received a package from one of our great volunteers in Warsaw. She sent some homemade bread and homemade wine. And so we have this real, you know, people from all over the world supporting, whether or not they can be here, or your listeners, simply by sending good words. That keeps everyone going.
Hope it stays sunny and peaceful there, Joseph. We'll speak tomorrow.
Thank you, Bob. Until tomorrow.